Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. In the Iliad, Homer refers to the Antianeirae. It's a term that has been translated as women who go to war like men, or the equal of men. Those stories captivated the imaginations of the Greeks and the Romans. The women warriors came to be known as Amazons and were often portrayed as hypersexual man-eaters who severed off a breast to be better archers. Amazon myths have been repeated in artworks and stories stretching from the ancient world to American pop culture's Wonder Woman, Xena the Warrior Princess, and Katniss Everdeen of the Hunger Games fame. But were they real? For years, modern scholars dismissed Amazons as mythical figures, or perhaps beardless, bow-toting mongoloids mistaken for women. A new body of archaeological evidence suggests that the Amazons did exist. The Amazons, a new book by classic scholar, researcher, and author Adrian Mayer, finds the factual underpinnings of these legends and reveals in great detail the origins, lives, deaths, and legacy of these battle-hardened warriors. Adrian Mayer, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
One of the stories, and there are many in the book, is of Queen Penthesilea. And the story reveals so much about how Greeks regarded the Amazons, who fought against them during the Trojan Wars. Now, what is the story as handed down?
The story as we have it comes from many different fragments from a full epic about the Amazons. We know that there was a full epic about the appearance of the Amazons, and they were led by Queen Penthesilea, and she was said to be the most courageous of the Amazons. And the great champion, of course, of the Greeks was Achilles. And they actually fought a duel outside the walls of Troy, which just became one of the very favorite stories of the ancient Greeks. They talked about it a lot. Very popular on vase paintings and in sculptures.
Vases painted to give people as wedding gifts. So what kind of message was given to the happy couple?
You know, many scholars have suggested that perhaps the stories of the Amazons are so popular in antiquity, and they usually only think of the Greek males as telling and hearing and knowing about these stories. But actually, there were pictures of Amazons and Amazon armies all over public buildings, too. So they were wall paintings, great monumental sculptures inside the Parthenon in famous temples. Amazons were popular on pottery that was used by men and by women. And more than that, there are all these perfume jars that have survived. These were used by women exclusively for precious perfumes and oils. And they're decorated with Amazons in their fabulous outfits carrying their weapons. Ancient Greek girls played with Amazon dolls. I was just astounded when I went to the Louvre in Paris and saw their collection of terracotta dolls that were buried in little girls' graves. That means that little girls played with ancient Barbie dolls that were Amazons, and you could dress them, and their arms and legs moved.
So they were surrounded with these kind of images, playing with the dolls. When do we first hear of the Amazons in the ancient world?
The first vase paintings of Amazons appeared just sort of suddenly out of nowhere in the 7th century B.C., and then they became incredibly popular in the 6th and 5th centuries. Now, the first written stories that we have about Amazons, it's really Herodotus, the Greek, who traveled to the Black Sea area and interviewed people, foreigners, Scythians, people who lived around the Black Sea and on the steppes that stretched all the way to Mongolia. And Herodotus interviewed them and found out all sorts of stories about their lives. They were horse-centered. They were nomads. They all wore the same clothes. The boys and girls were raised alike, and they went to war like the men. And then, of course, the archaeological evidence is just cannot be doubted now that there really were women who rode horses, shot bows and arrows, and went to war alongside the men, and that the Greeks knew about them.
Well, tell us about this, because, you know, for a long time, before DNA was used for archaeological evidence, if a set of bones was buried with weapons, it was thought to be male. What are some examples of the burials of people who are now discovered to be women and some of their injuries that support the idea that they were indeed warriors?
The most recent examples that I can think of, there was one grave in Thrace, now Bulgaria, with four skeletons buried with a whole arsenal of weapons. And these were assumed to be two warrior chieftains with their wives. And that was in 1975, but just a year or so ago, they did DNA testing and found out that all four of those skeletons were female. So that's one example. And one of the most recent examples, very exciting, just now breaking news, I got the press release yesterday, the archaeological team at Vergina, where Alexander the Great's family is buried, one of those graves contained one skeleton with a full set of armor and weapons, and the greaves are mismatched. They're not the same size. Well, this was assumed to be a male relative of Alexander the Great, but DNA testing has just shown that the skeleton belongs to a woman.
Wow.
And not only that, but the armor belongs to her because she had a broken leg from a horse riding accident, probably, and the mismatched greaves fit her legs perfectly.
Wow.
So that's exciting news.
That is indeed exciting. I mean, in your book, you sift through so much evidence to explain the drug habits, the dancing, the music, the trousers that Amazons wore, you know, all sorts of details about them. But I think we need to get to a couple of myths first. First and foremost, any evidence that Amazons severed off a breast to improve their skills as archers?
That is a piece of information that just has sticking power that you would not believe.
Well, there's a lot to it.
It's based on zero evidence, and it was an idea that was proposed because a Greek historian in antiquity was trying to figure out a Greek meaning for the foreign word Amazon. We don't know the origin of the word, but every scholar agrees it's not Greek. In antiquity, they tried to make it into a Greek word. So it sounded a little bit like amazos or amastos, which would mean without breast. So once you come up with that etymology, you have to make a story for it. Mm-hmm. So they made a story, and it just sticks like super glue. No one can shake this story, no matter how many times you argue against it. And people began arguing against it as soon as the argument was made. In the 5th century B.C. So ancient Greeks said, no, that can't be true. There is no evidence for such a thing.
Who were the Amazons, the fierce female archers on horseback of legends stretching from the ancients to Xena, the warrior princess, and beyond? For centuries, scholars regarded them as figures of myth. Adrian Mayer has sifted through centuries of artistic and archaeological evidence on the existence of Amazons, which is explored in great detail in her book, The Amazons, Lives and Legends of Warrior Women Across the Ancient World. How about families? If raised in these completely egalitarian, horse-centric societies, you know, always on the move, how did they raise children without the traditional structure of mothers in a protected nest?
The lifestyle was so different from the ordinary Greek lifestyle, and I think that's what really captured the attention of the ancient Greeks. They were just appalled and fascinated that women could choose to go to war along with men, or they could choose to go just a group of women only. This was just unheard of in Greece. But if you think about it, it's very logical for nomadic tribes, small nomadic tribes, harsh landscape, harsh life, traveling back and forth such great distances. It makes a lot of sense that everyone in the tribe is a stakeholder. Everyone has to contribute to the defense and the aggression of the tribe. So you raise the boys and girls the same. They start riding horses when they're toddlers. They all learn to use the bow and arrow, and they can all hunt, defend themselves, and go to war. I just want to point out that the horse combined with archery, that's the great equalizer. If you're on a horse shooting a bow and arrow, a woman can be just as fast and just as deadly as a man.
How about sexuality? There are alternating images of man-hating virgins or lesbians who killed their baby sons. Others, like the lusty Atalanta, considered more traditionally male in that she chose her mates unrepentantly. So where's the truth?
The truth was something that the ancient Greeks certainly sought. some explanation for how would a society work out if the women were the equals of the men. That would mean that they controlled their own sexuality, their own pregnancies and reproduction. This just flabbergasted the Greeks, so they had a lot of speculation about maybe Amazons met neighboring tribes on a seasonal basis. What did they do with the boys? Well, they gave them away to the fathers.
There's also the legend of Thalestris, if I'm saying her name properly.
Ah, yes, the queen of the Amazons.
Right, and she was meant to have told Alexander Great she wanted to have a child with him. If it were a girl, she'd keep it. If it were a boy, she'd give it to him.
That's right, and scholars have puzzled over that, but it's actually of a piece with this custom of sending out the boys to be raised by a neighboring tribe, by the father's tribe.
Well, we have all these myths about Pompey and Cyrus the Great and Mithridates and Achilles and Hadrian, all combating Amazons, all winning, which I think reveals something about the Athenian male psyche. But similar myths persist in other cultures. There is Zarina, there's Serpot, there's the Maiden of Yue. From Persia to China to North Africa, is there any evidence that women warriors spoken of in these cultures were also real?
Yes, that was one of the biggest surprise discoveries in the Greek mythic script. The Amazons are always doomed to defeat and death at the hands of the great Greek heroes. The images and in the vase paintings and sculptures are very brutal, very violent. It doesn't matter how attractive or admirable those Amazon queens are, they're doomed to death. The Greek males were really hostile to the idea of independent women who might be their equals. They really needed to smash them. That was the wonderful thing that I found about the stories from Egypt, from Persia, from Central Asia. Radically different script. In these stories, the great hero goes out to fight these foreign women, the Amazons of the steppes. They fight. They fall in love because they're so equally matched that no one can win. Mm-hmm. No one wins their duels.
Well, Adrian Mayer, just fascinating. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Adrian Mayer is a research scholar in classics and history of science at Stanford and author of several books on the ancient world, including The Poison King, The Life and Legend of Mithridates, Rome's Deadliest Enemy. There's more in her new book, The Amazons, Lives and Legends of Warrior Women Across the Ancient World. You'll find a link at wordofmouthradio.org. Thanks so much for listening today. If you like what you heard, there's much more at wordofmouthradio.org. Earlier in the show, we talked about the latest in conspicuous consumption, high-end cell phones for the ultra-rich.
What makes it stand apart? Number one, it's upholstered in extremely expensive kinds of leather, which are made from ostrich or snake or calfskin, in fashionable colors that are designed to appeal to contemporary tastes.
Well, if you're wondering what a handcrafted $10,000 cell phone even looks like, and remember, they can go much higher, we posted photos on our website, wordofmouthradio.org. And we'll be back with more Word of Mouth Sunday at noon on New Hampshire Public Radio.